Welcome to today's South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations conference call. Participation in this call is by expressed invitation of SDAHO only. Unauthorized participants and or any party that aids and abets such unauthorized participants may be subject to criminal and civil penalties under both state and federal law. Please disconnect from the call if SDAHO did not expressly invite your participation. A question and answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you all for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Scott Duke.
Thank you, operator, and many thanks to everyone for joining. Welcome to spring in South Dakota. I suspect everyone's experiencing some of this rather abnormally warm weather, and it's likely due to a lot of hot air coming out of Washington. No, just kidding. But if you think about what's happening in, what, about a month of now President Trump's administration, there's quite a bit of activity. So let's jump right in. I'm going to cover some of the federal side, and then Deborah will cover some of the things happening with the state side as far as the session goes, and we're now at about the halfway point. So on the calendar side, both the House and the Senate are in this week, although there's not a lot happening in the healthcare space specific to action, but there is activity, so we'll cover that. In addition, next week the President is a holiday recess, so Congress will be out for the week, but then they return the week of the 27th, and they will be in for each of the next 5 weeks, all the way through that first part of April, and then out for 2 weeks, the 10th and the 17th for an Easter break, but then back in April, so we expect to have the pace continue in terms of what's happening out of Washington. Some news on the Congress side. So although there are not a lot of hearings going on with healthcare, that doesn't mean there's not activity. In fact, what's happening right now is the committees of jurisdiction are holding both education and listening sessions over lunch and then at alternate times with the members of Congress to really try to work through what is the blueprint for what would be the replacement of the ACA. And so while that's going on, not a lot of hearings, but there are hearings happening. Of course, there's a confirmation hearings, and votes are continuing. We've had on the website related to confirmation of HHS Representative Price, and now later this week, I think Thursday, Seema Verma will be up for consideration as head of CMS. She did have some potential conflicts of interest with her consulting business. That it looks like all of those have been worked out. Again, she has quite an impressive background and has worked with Indiana, amongst other states, in terms of her work in the field. So we expect the pace to pick up with now these confirmations, especially with Secretary Price and the potential for Seema Verma. Now, keep in mind that the House's stated goal is to pass the ACA repeal. So I hope that everyone, as they keep that in mind, understand that there's a push and a pull that's occurring between members of the House and the conservative groups out there who just want a repeal vote, and they want that vote right now, not waiting for replace. So this is causing that back and forth push and pull. So part of during the House discussion is that they plan to have concurrent advisors from the Senate in chamber so that when discussions and votes are occurring on what may be the repeal, that they can have advice on what works and what doesn't work as a part of reconciliation. It really, I think, speaks to their intent about how they plan to both mark up the first reconciliation bill and then try to push it forward. There are others, though, that are saying, you know, at this time we don't have a defined and set plan, and maybe a bit slower pace is right. As an example, Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee has suggested including a broader basis around the CHIP, which would, of course, bring in several more at numbers as far as children go. So at this point in time, I still hope to mark up and begin that process in early March, but that timeline may slip regarding the ACA. And then there's this piece about many of the Republicans want to work on tax reform as well. And there seems to be a question about if we can't get it moving, if there's more of a moderate approach than conservative, how long would they linger on the ACA in terms of where it would go right now and possibly begin talking about tax reform? So quite a bit still unknown there. In some other news, and hopefully you've seen some of the news out about the CDC release data around the uninsured rate in our country, which hit for the first 3 months of 2016, 8.6%, down from a little over 9% a year ago, and 15.7% overall when the ACA was signed into law. These numbers represent the lowest uninsured rates in 50 years, according to the studies. And so, again, that information will be, of course, coming into purview and into view as we talk about where the replacement side of ACA and unintended consequences and not wanting to do harm. In addition, there is still a waiting and see game that's being played regarding the immigration concerns around the travel ban. As you know, the Ninth District appeals process ruled in favor of holding on the ban. Trump administration has said they may do another executive order or could appeal back, so we don't know where that's at. This is impacting health care across the country. I will just say still from South Dakota's perspective, there has not been a lot of concerns raised, but please do that if there are. Finally, there's a AHA webcast later today at, I believe, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, that is with the Medicaid consultants that AHA's brought in from Manat, talking further about where it might go under Medicaid reform, per capita caps, caps overall, or vouchers. And then finally, Sadaho's all-district meeting next week should be a real important meeting. We're going to have Governor Dugard there, and I'm going to turn this over to Deborah, who's going to talk to you a little bit about the happenings there. And so we hope you can plan on attending that. It's on Tuesday the 21st. And so let me stop there, and we'll bring questions back, and I'll go to Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. This is Deborah, and my apologies. I had you on mute. There was some ruffling noises here and there, so I had muted you, and then I apologize to everyone. I didn't take you off of mute in time to greet you. But welcome. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. We're on the fourth floor of the Capitol with the Health System Advocacy Team here and working hard on your behalf. I just wanted today I'm going to give you a brief update on the legislative calendar and talk about some of the current issues that have happened this week, some of which you've read in the paper, and then we'll talk a little bit about future issues and, of course, our all-district meeting next week. For the legislative calendar for PEER, we're entering week six with about 3 weeks left of what we call the main run, which ends on March 10th. Then, of course, we have veto day on March 27th. Just a reminder that we have four-day weeks, so next week we start on a Tuesday, which, again, is our all-district meeting date, so we look forward to seeing you. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then, again, we've had, with the deadline of new bills has passed, there are 388 bills that have dropped, quite a bit less from last year, which we think is good. The governor's bill, which is Senate Bill 175, has also dropped. Then also to remind you that crossover day, which is the House of Origin Day, sometimes called as well, and that's when all Senate bills must be out of the House or out of the Senate and over to the House, and where all of the House bills must be out of the House and, if you will, cross over the rotunda to get to the Senate. And so we've had a fair amount of movement on the Senate. I think they're up to speed, and they may be done ahead of time in terms of that crossover deadline. The House is still working judiciously, I think primarily on getting a lot of their bills on the House floor out. They seem to be a little backlogged right now. So for current issues, I want to talk a little bit about the non-nurse midwifery bill. That came out of Senate Health. We did get one no vote. We knew it was coming out of Senate Health. There was a good testimony. We had a couple of docs with SDSMA. We had Dr. Schrader also testify. I testified, and then Nick Katsia from Stanford testified. It was a good conversation, but all in all, most of those folks in that room have been proponents, if you will, of WPS's midwifery bill in concept for some time. The things that really harmed us the most was that, of course, the Department of Health and the Board of Nursing helped draft that for her, so it added a great deal of credibility to the bill moving forward. And just so you know, we did work, for those who may be new on the call, we have worked tirelessly behind the scenes trying to put as much as she was willing to put into the bill, not to fix it, but to protect our members in terms of ensuring that the non-nurse midwives would not practice within the hospital. Okay, then moving on, one of the big stories, and it started actually last night, we had the Joint Approps Committee met about 4:30 and walked through what they wanted to see, the new budget estimates. About an hour and a half, they discussed it, and Gail gave me some notes, so I'm just going to share those with you. The Joint Committee heard two different revenue forecasts. One was from the BFM, or the Bureau of Finance. The other one was from the Legislative Research Council. They had different models. BFM looks more to the future, and the LRC model looks at past trends. BFM model takes into account human perception of future economic trends, while LRC strictly uses historical data and weighs recent trends more heavily than recent trends in historical data. Each had their strong suit and downfall, and we watched that as the committee worked through those side-by-side numbers last night and came up with a budget revenue, which they adopted officially this morning in appropriations. But bottom line is they're about $24, $25 million short for each for FY17 and for FY18. So our position hasn't changed about the governor's recommendation of the 1% increase plus the 2 years of the targeted increases or that part of that three-year plan of the governor. But there is concern, so we will continue to keep a watchful eye on that and see what will progress as the appropriators have to cut certain budget items so that they can actually appropriate the budget and have it balanced. On that note, though, please know that there won't be many Cracker Barrels this weekend, but any of your input, if you see one of your legislators around, you would just encourage them over this weekend and then the next weekend about ensuring those provider payments stay there. And then also we want to talk about Senate Bill 61, which is a bill that the Policy Council has been neutral on, but it is the Advanced Nurse Practice, the APRN bill, and that passed the House. There was only 6 no votes on that, and that is now headed toward the governor's desk. So that has finished its journey. Then last week in the Public Policy Council meeting, we reviewed a number of bills. One was House Bill 1183. That's an act to provide and revise certain provisions regarding mental health procedures in criminal justice and to make an appropriation thereof and to declare an emergency. This is a product of a special task force on mental health led by the South Dakota Supreme Court Justice Gilbertson. The committee voted to support this, but in lieu of the potential budget cuts, they may not be funding for this at this time, and we'll watch and see how that moves forward. House Bill 1195 was an act to revise certain provisions regarding health coverage for applied behavioral analysis. This is basically the autism bill. The Public Policy Council chose to remain neutral on that bill. House Bill 1197, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding medical assistance payments to nursing home facilities. This is actually a rate equalization bill. The Public Policy Council voted to oppose it, and it died in House Health this morning. Senate Bill 144 is an act to authorize service members to carry concealed pistol or revolver without a permit. The Public Policy Council voted to oppose this, and here is why. In its current form, which will be amended, I believe, this afternoon, but it would allow any service member to carry a concealed pistol or a revolver anywhere they wanted to, in the hospitals, in the schools, in somebody else's house, anything with four walls, unless there was a prohibition in statute that would cause them to have to not be able to carry that pistol into those four walls, it would be allowable. And so it was Section 2 of that bill, which will be amended, and I hear that we will have a prohibition for hospitals that we won't have to deal with that should it pass. And then we have House Bill 1169, which was withdrawn. That actually was a repeal of the ACA, a little ahead of its time, and we're not even sure it was drafted completely. That would have coincided with the measures on the federal level. So that is no longer in play. Senate Bill 147 is an act to establish a process for a periodic review of provider rates for medical assistance to the indigent and make an appropriation thereof. This will actually be hogged in committee tomorrow. We do have the amendments now, and we're reviewing those, but the Public Policy Council won't take a position on those until Thursday. Basically, what the folks who are going to hog this bill would like is to have the provider, the rate process be more transparent, be more inclusive with providers, and then have a set number of years. It's up to five at this point is in the bill, but really almost annually at some point. Even if there's no appropriation to raise those provider rates, to have those costs reflect the true costs of the providers. And then lastly, I will share with you House Bill 1152. Oh, pardon me, there's two more. Senate Bill 169, an act to impose a statewide property tax for the purposes of providing funds to increase certain employee wages employed by community support providers and nursing facilities. The Public Policy Council chose to remain neutral on this in part because there will be an amendment. I just talked with Senator Novstrup earlier today, and we'll get to see that amendment soon. But at first, it will probably remove nursing homes from this this tax levy that would be collected across South Dakota that would be used to pay community providers. It's about $14 million estimate, but we don't really see this bill going anywhere because it is a tax increase. Lastly is House Bill 1152, an act to establish a maximum rate of interest on debt arising out of medical services. This actually died in committee. It was opposed by the Public Policy Council, and it died in committee this week. All right, and then so for future issues, the Cracker Barrels, there's only a few this week. Sioux Falls does not have any. At Sylvie Butte High School in Oneida, there is one at 11:30. And then also, that's it, actually. That's all we have for this week. And then next week, the following Saturday, you'll see more of those. Traditionally, a lot of people take this weekend off. So lastly, I just want to remind you about the L-District meeting next Tuesday. That'll be that first day of session for that week. Please know that we'd love to have you come. We will have, for the very first time, an opportunity for you to interact with your legislators at a reception following the L-District meeting. And we will have the governor come to speak to us, which couldn't be more timely given the current shortfalls in revenue for the budget. And so it would be great to have you there advocating on our members' behalf alongside with the rest of us to ensure that we keep those governor's proposed increases in the budget for our members. Thank you, and back to you, Scott.
Thanks, Deborah. And now we'll go to the operator, and we'll open up for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0 followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, please press 0 followed by 1 now. Please hold for a moment as our system compiles your responses. As a reminder to our audience, you may ask a question by pressing 01 now. And it appears there are no questions at this time.
Wonderful. Thank you, operator. We'll just, again, appreciate everyone. Next week, with the Congress being out and what we'll be doing in Pierre, we may not hold this call, but we'll keep everybody informed through email, so watch your emails on alerts. And thanks again. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.